Hi, guys. 4:05 on DGS. Dave had to run out, so the rest of us are here. Rach, Andrew, and yours truly. Dave had to run out. He got a call about his mom, and you guys know, if you've been listening along, she's been in hospice now for a couple of months, coming up on her 97th birthday. So just keep Dave in your thoughts. Obviously, it's always a tough time when you know that you're dealing with hospice, and he got a call to take care of some things today. So he'll be out the rest of the day today. Obviously, we're all thinking about our buddy, and hopefully everything is going to be going okay. And, you know, Dave, we'll get updates as it goes along, and we'll pass those along as well. We are continuing the show, obviously, up until 4:30. That's when Cardinals baseball is going to take over shortly after that. Actually, Matt Pauly will have the pregame at 4:45. The game is at 5:40 tonight in Pittsburgh. Lance Lynn for the Cardinals, Paul Skeens for the Pirates, and Matt will have all the details on that during the pregame show. So we're continuing with our think tank, and good to have you guys with us, by the way. Kurt Barr, who we see quite a bit, what do we say, Director of Elections? Is that right?
Director of Elections.
I got it right. Man, I'm doing it. Director of Elections, Kurt Barr is with us. And then Ray Hartman. Now, Ray, I don't think we've ever met before, so it's good to meet you. Running for the 2nd Congressional District against Ann Wagner coming up here in 2024. How's all that going?
Feeling good about it.
Yeah?
And I think it got a little better this week from my perspective with Kamala Harris at the top of the Democratic ticket. So we'll see. I think it's going to be a close race.
All right, so we got a lot to get into, but we should just start the obvious, right? I mean, this has been a really busy couple of weeks, big news in the political world. We had an assassination attempt not long after that, almost a week. Was it 8 days after that? We had Joe Biden's decision to step out of the race. So let's start with that, because we've already reacted quite a bit to what happened in Pennsylvania. But let's start with that. And go ahead, Ray, why don't you go ahead and start first? Just your thoughts on the transition. Joe stepping out, Kamala stepping in, and where things are headed from your perspective.
I love Joe Biden, but I think he made the right decision. And I know it was painful for him. I think he'll be remembered as one of the great public servants in American history. I'm 36 years in the Senate, 8 years as vice president. I think, I'm not sure Kurt would agree, that he's been a terrific president, but it doesn't matter what you think about that.
It'd be weird if we just brought two people in that agreed.
Yeah, exactly. And I won't speak for Kurt. No, but I think that he had a great career, but I think it was very clear that it was time to move in a different direction. And I think Kamala Harris, at the top of the ticket, with whomever she picks as a vice president, has a really great opportunity to win. And certainly from my own perspective, one of the big issues in our race in the 2nd District is reproductive freedom, which is almost certainly going to be on the state ballot in November. And the combination of her leading with that and the number of people I hear from that are feel that's a big issue, and certainly Ann Wagner and I disagree on that. I think it's a good thing for us.
Kurt, what did you make of it?
Well, it's definitely changes the dynamic of the election. I mean, you know, obviously the Republicans or a large group of the Republicans are all for coming out voting for Trump, you know, and getting rid of Joe Biden. But now that Joe Biden is no longer the presumptive nominee, that, you know, is the Republicans going to come out to vote against Kamala at the same way they would have for Biden? Now, there's certainly a lot who are going to vote for Trump, but there's always a contingent that is like, well, you know, Trump's not necessarily our primary guy. He's just our guy. You know, will they say, well, Kamala may not be that bad, so maybe I won't vote. Maybe, you know, will that depress turnout, you know, to a degree? And then, you know, he makes a great point that, you know, if the initial petition on reproductive rights abortion gets on the ballot, that will definitely increase voter turnout, both on the left and the right. And, you know, we've seen that in some states, even Kansas, where, you know, that has gotten onto the ballot, that has definitely, you know, increased voter turnout on the Democratic side. And so we could see, you know, in Missouri, you know, maybe the Republicans are still going to win, but it may be a lot closer this time around than in, you know, most recent past years.
I'm wondering, it's a question for both of you, because I think you'll have different answers. Who would you like to see Kamala pick as a vice president? We can start with Ray.
Well, I'll leave it up to her. Honestly, of course, I've been used to saying that, you know, as a journalist for all these years, I'm supposed to weigh in on everything. And people keep saying, shut up. Just let the other people weigh in. I would say that I would hope she would focus on the 7 battleground states. And that would be Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, and Nevada, Arizona. And so I think she's, and I really do think that the Democratic Party has a great bench there. And certainly I wouldn't rule out Andy Beshear because he's kind of a rock star out of the governor of Kentucky. But Josh Shapiro fits that bill in Pennsylvania. Roy Cooper, I would, if I had a guess, I think he's might be the front runner because he's good friends with Kamala Harris from their days as Attorney General. And then there's Mark Kelly, who's a national hero out of Arizona. All of them come with good reputations. And again, Cooper, Roy Cooper's ended two terms extraordinarily popular. And so there may be others. And Josh Shapiro's way popular in a key state in Pennsylvania. So I think it remains to be seen. But I think the Democratic Party has really good options.
Those are all very good picks. And so I'm kind of hoping more of a really progressive, maybe a member of a squad.
He's like, can we pick like AOC?
Exactly. Yeah. Now,
that somebody great, that people really hate. Yeah.
That'd be a great running mate as you know, from the view of a Republican.
That's a good point, Kurt.
You know, I'm always fascinated by how much of this is just nuts and bolts, right? So when you're picking a running mate for a presidential candidate, very like thinking of J.D. Vance, right? J.D. Vance isn't going to advance Donald Trump's popularity. He's already immensely popular with the people that are going to vote for him, but he brings something to the table, right? He brings a very particular, he brings his background in the middle of the country. Mm-hmm. He's a name. People mm-hmm. know him. Mm-hmm. He wrote a book that became a movie. He's a senator. So, like, there's that value. But I think it's, do you guys think it's like that value is measured the same way for every candidate? Because I think it's a little different for every candidate. Sometimes it's more about what you were talking about, Ray, the math. Where do you need to get votes in certain states and who appeals to that particular group of people?
Yeah, I think there's two philosophies when choosing a running mate. One is either, is this person going to help me get elected or is this person going to help me govern?
Mm-hmm.
And I think when Trump picked Pence the first time around, you know, Pence was definitely a running mate to help him govern. And I think he did a great job in his first administration. And so J.D. Vance is not somebody who's going to get Trump across the finish line. So I think, again, this is somebody who will help Trump in the way he governs if he were to win. As far as
makes sense.
What Kamala's looking for, that I don't know.
That does make sense. And I will say this, if I can put on my tattered journalist hat for just a moment, and that is you arguably have to go back to Lyndon Johnson to find a vice president who made a huge difference. And I want to say we in the media, it's a kind of hard habit to break after decades, but the media, though, everyone in the political world, I think, not just the media, tends to overestimate the importance of this decision. At some point, it's kind of almost a parlor game to see who's going to do it. And I'm not saying it's not an important decision, because it is, but it is not determinative. Excuse me. It's not determinative very often. And you really arguably have to go back to Kennedy Johnson to where you really said, yeah, this probably made the difference. A bipartisan statement, by the way.
And so much of it is not based on like people's choice, right? When people vote, it's not so much about the details on who the person is that's the running mate, right? People are voting on the primary candidate. They're voting on the presidential candidate. And, you know, you mentioned the Kennedy election. I mean, ever since television came into play, a lot of it comes down to what seems like a really weird thing. But if you were to put the two people together, who's the more likable? Who is more willing? Like, who would you like to have a beer with? That test works almost every time. It's not 100%, but it works almost every time.
I agree with you completely. I mean, a lot of people feel that worked in 2000 for Bush and Gore. Bush.
Yeah, yeah.
Certainly Kennedy and Nixon. And I'm hoping that Kamala Harris can keep her upbeat persona because it's. I think her positivity and her smile and all that, I think is a contrast with sort of the anger or the, you know, whatever you want to call it. And I don't want to be pejorative about it, but the resentment or what if retribution, that kind of a argument, I think that's a good contrast for us. But it's a long way. I tell you what, it's only a little over three. It seems like it's close, but that's an eternity in politics between now and November.
I mean, if you go back to 2016, at this time, Hillary was like 8 points ahead of Donald Trump. Yeah. And we know how that turned out. And you know, I mean, what you do, Kurt, is monitoring elections and running elections.
What do you find when it comes to outcomes that you measure later on versus polling questions that come beforehand and how those things relate? Because it feels like for a long time they did. They didn't match up exactly, but they were a little more close. It doesn't seem like they're as close in modern times.
I mean, the polls are an indication, but they're so fickle. It depends on who's asking, what they're asking, who they're talking to. What I look at is like absentee vote turnout.
Okay.
And I look to see, you know, what ballot measures are on the ballot, like what is the voter intensity? And so, like, for this primary, you know, early voting just started. So no excuse in-person absentee voting started today. And we saw a pickup of voter turnout for this August election. But before that, there was very minimal absentee voting for this election. The intensity there is just not there because there's nothing that's really bringing people to the polls for this primary election. However, these initiative petitions that are going to be on the Missouri ballot and this shakeup on the Democrat presidential ticket, I think that's going to increase intensity. So the question is, which party is more intense and who shows up to polls to actually vote?
I do want to ask you more about the what you talked about there, the absentee balloting opening coming up for August 6th. We'll ask you more about that. Kurt Barr is with us. He is obviously the director of elections for St. Charles County. Ray Hartman is with us, candidate for the 2nd Congressional District running against Ann Wagner. We'll continue the think tank here on DGS. All right, picking it back up on DGS. As I mentioned, Dave had to run out taking care of some business with his mom. I know we've been keeping you updated on, you know, her status. She's been in hospice now for a couple of months ever since her fall. So just keep Dave and his family and his mom in your thoughts and in your prayers. And we'll get an update, obviously, in the not-too-distant future, but hoping everything is going to be okay there. But he had to run out and take care of some things today. We continue with the think tank. Ray Hartman is in, of course, running against Ann Wagner, I should say, but in the 2nd Congressional District coming up here in the fall. Kurt Barr is in, Director of Elections in St. Charles County. Kurt, you brought up the primary. Early balloting has started. I know you've told us a lot about how that process works, which we very much thank you because good information is always welcome.
Right.
Anything other than what we were talking about with the ballot initiative possibly getting on there, anything we should be following, anything newsworthy to you or anything interesting?
So for the August election, you know, today's 2 weeks before the election starts, no excuse in-person absentee voting. Any voter in St. Charles County can go to the election authority and cast a ballot. It's just like voting election day. And for voters in St. Charles or for St. Louis County, St. Louis City, they go to the Board of Election for that county and they can cast their ballot. So that you don't have to say, "Oh, I'm going to be out of town," and make an excuse. So that's, you know, starting now up till election day, August 6th. Going into the November election, there are 4 initiative petitions that, you know, voters have signed off on, and the election authorities and the county clerks have been working for the last 2 months validating all those signatures to say, you know, is there enough signatures to get ballot access for these 4 issues? And it looks like all 4 are going to have enough signatures. But I don't know, you know, what the total is, because there has to be a certain number of signatures over like 5 of the 8 congressional districts.
Right.
Anyway, so it looks like all these will get ballot access. One deals with a casino on the Osage River, Lake of the Ozark. One deals with a minimum wage increase. One deals with, abortion. And then one deals with sports betting.
Right.
And so it looks like all 4 of those issues will get on the ballot. And that's going to definitely increase, you know, people's interest in the election who may not necessarily care about
a lot of different groups mixed in with those issues too.
A lot of different groups. And that's going to change the voter intensity, which will change the voter turnout. And that turnout could change like how people vote and which candidates actually win. Or it may make those tighter districts really tight, really competitive this time around. And in Missouri politics, we haven't seen those real tight races very much.
Ray, how does that strike you when you're looking at issues that might increase turnout? I mean, I think we would all love to see 100% of people vote. Like, right. I think it would be great to get that. But sometimes it's those types of things, in addition to the races like the one that you're in, that get people moving.
I'd hope it wasn't that the need. I hope everyone out there considers that it is a responsibility in a democracy, whether you're Republican or Democrat, to vote. I mean, it's when I was Kit Bond's speechwriter, I used to quote Alex de Tocqueville, a social scientist who specialized in writing profound things for in the 19th century for lazy speechwriters in the 20th. And he said, "The beauty of the American democracy is we get the democracy we deserve." And so I think it's so important. And I even though he's a Republican, I got to give a shout out to Kurt and to anyone like him that are trying their best to conduct fair and open and honest elections. Good for you. There's a lot. Everybody needs to thank their poll workers, and we need to turn the temperature down. We've talked about that a lot in our society. Whether it's Democrats or Republicans, you know, this we live in an age where sometimes people are being threatened, and just it's just horrible. And I hope people come together on that this time. It was pretty ugly at times in the past, and we're better than that.
So what do you expect, Kurt? Do you expect, just looking at your experience in turnout? I won't ask you to speak for St. Louis County, but in St. Charles County, what do you expect turnout to be like in November, just based on those issues? And obviously, it's presidential year.
So in 2020, we had 76% turnout.
That was a big one.
Think that we're likely to see that and maybe go a little bit above it. I mean, I don't know if we've ever hit 80% plus. I mean, there's a point where some people are registered to vote and they just never will vote.
Sure, sure.
But I think that we will see a massive turnout, which is why I encourage people, hey, 2 weeks of early voting, get out to Election Authority, go ahead and vote.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at that high of a level, you know, there will be busyness at the polls.
I'm a huge fan of the early voting. Like, if you can't get the day off, if you have to work, this is what it's all. You know, I've talked a lot about it times in the past, maybe making Election Day a holiday, giving people that opportunity. But even then, you know, there are people that wouldn't get the day off even if it's a holiday. But with the early voting, no excuse, as you pointed out. You can just go in and do it. You don't need an explanation. You don't need to have anything else going on. Just go take care of that business.
Exactly.
Thank you, guys. This has been great. I wish we had time, but Cardinals baseball is beckoning.
We understand that.
We love
Cardinals. 80% turning, my body hurts about the thought of how many more doors I'm going to have to knock on. God, that was hurtful.
Ray Hartman, Kurt Barr, thank you guys so much. We appreciate it. We have Cardinals baseball coming up. They're in Pittsburgh to take on the Pirates. Lance Lynn against Paul Skeens. Matt Pauly's got you covered coming up in about 15 minutes here on KMOX. We'll